This is Cicely Tyson. Betty Coughlin has been crying. Betty's daughter Jane is flying home today, and Betty has come to meet her. She doesn't want Jane to see that she is depressed. Since her divorce, it seems to Betty that life has been unfair to her. She feels as if she's been cheated, or as if the rules of life have been changed in the middle of the game. At least the kids turned out great. And now, Jane is getting married, so there may be grandchildren to babysit for and to play with. On the way to the luggage claim area, Betty stops to study herself in a candy machine mirror. She forces a smile onto her face. It doesn't look very convincing, but it's the best she can do right now. Maybe that smile will look a little more sincere once she and Jane have spent some time together. After all, this is only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, A Visit Home by Patricia Joyce. Our stars, Virginia Gregg, Joan McCall, and Len Berman.
That's Betty's daughter, Jane, over there. She's the worried-looking young woman with the short brown hair. As she waits for her suitcases, her forehead puckers, then unpuckers, then puckers again. She has an important decision to make. In New York City, her fiancé, Tom, kept offering suggestions and solutions. Jane couldn't hear her own thoughts, so she packed a bag and came home to Michigan. Right now, Jane is wondering if it was fair to leave Tom out of the decision-making process. After all, whatever she decides has to affect him too. Her suitcases arrive, and Jane shrugs off her doubts. She remembers what her mother always says. You're always in the right place at the right time, doing what's right for you. Jane hopes there's some truth in that optimistic saying. As she leaves the baggage area, Jane searches the crowd for her mother. There she is. But then, Betty's always there when Jane needs her. Jane goes over and gives her mom a hug.
Oh. Hi, Mom.
Hi, sweetie. You cut your hair.
Yeah, I got tired of it hanging all over the place.
It's good to see you.
You too.
Janie, you'd look so much better if you'd just remember to wear a little lipstick.
Mom!
Well,
I have things on my mind.
It just takes a second to put on a little lipstick and some blush.
Well, I did. I just chewed it off.
Just a little effort. That good grooming would make all the difference in the world.
Okay, let's go on home. We'll fight about all this later. Oh, no, Mom. I'll get the bag.
Oh, this one's light.
No! You do like my hair, don't you?
Very much.
Hooray!
I saved some articles in the Culverton Chronicle that I thought might interest you.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't you know Julia Pickering?
Yeah, sort of.
Well, she had a baby boy, her second. Her husband works for Chrysler. Or is it GM? Jane, I don't think Africa's such a good idea.
Well, this is in Nairobi. I mean, it's not South Africa or Rhodesia or anywhere there's trouble.
Well, I still don't think
it's... Mom, it's a great program. I'll be a supervisor trainer. I'll be teaching people to do my job as I work. I'll work in the tractor assembly plant. Then I'll work in the fields with farmers, teaching them how to use and maintain the equipment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great job. It satisfies all my fantasies about doing good deeds for other people, you know, helping the masses and all that.
Sometimes those jobs can be pretty frustrating.
I know.
I just don't think it makes any sense. You have a good situation with Tom now. Who knows how he'll feel if you run off to Africa for a few months?
Well, I'd have to stay at least 3 years.
Well, that's silly.
I'll make good money. It satisfies my greedy materialistic side, too. I'll make more than Tom makes now.
Tom's not going to like that.
Well, that's tough.
You don't mean that.
Not really.
A lot of these new ideas don't work too well in practice. Men still want to be the strong ones.
Tell me about it.
Besides, why start off a marriage with a 3-year separation?
I know. I keep thinking, what's the point of a good job without having someone around to share it with? Oh, it's really a mess. Tom's hysterical.
Look at all these other girls. Julie Pickering's got 2 children. Cindy Wolf has 4.
Yeah, but those girls were the ones who married guys who worked for the car companies and lived their parents' lives. And look at my friends. Rocky's going to be an eye doctor in Chicago, and Andy has a farm in the Thumb Country. Linda's a sales manager in New Jersey, so why shouldn't I be a factory supervisor in Kenya?
If that's the way you want it.
Oh, Mom, I don't know what I want. You know that.
I feel sorry for Tom.
He wants us to buy part interest in a nursery.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It's not exactly the most productive thing that I can do with my education.
Sometimes we have to make sacrifices for the sake of the family.
I'm willing to make some sacrifices, or maybe compromises is a better word. I already gave up a good job here to move to New York for Tom. But with this African job, I don't know if I can do that.
What about children?
Oh, I think I want kids.
Well, I should hope so.
But you know what scares me, Mom?
Mm-mm.
I'm afraid that if I have to spend all my time looking after kids and Tom, and never getting to do what I want to do...
Oh, you won't mind after a while.
What if I do? What if I resent the kids and Tom and start hating my life?
Oh, you wouldn't.
How do you know what I'd do?
Well, you just wouldn't, that's all.
Maybe you wouldn't, but we're 2 different people. Mom, it scares me to death to think of how I'd feel if I were in your shoes, spending my whole life looking after my family. Then, when I get older, the kids grow up and go off, and my husband reverts to his 2nd adolescence and divorces me. I'm sorry.
Well, you can't own people, dear. You have to let them go their own way. Wait till you see what I got for dessert.
Hot fudge.
You'll see. Coughlin residence.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
All right. You want
Janie?
You guessed it.
It's Tom for you.
Hi.
Hey.
What's up?
Guess what, princess?
They came down in price on that nursery property?
No, it's bad news.
I can't wait.
I'm at the hospital.
What? Are you okay?
It's so dumb. You're not going to believe this.
Are you okay?
Sort of.
What happened?
I burned myself.
Oh, honey, is it bad?
Let me finish.
Okay.
I was making a TV dinner, and I was listening to the radio, and I was wondering about you and this new job, so I wasn't paying too much attention to what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I dropped, I was taking the TV dinner out of the oven, and it fell on my leg.
Oh.
I had on my jogging shorts, so there wasn't much protection. I have 2nd-degree burns from the creamed spinach.
Oh, honey.
It looks pretty bad.
Well, what should I do? Should I come back?
It's no big deal.
No, I can.
Hey, don't you dare. They're going to patch me up and send me home. Roger and Jill brought me in. They'll get me whatever I need.
You're sure?
I wouldn't have called if I thought you'd worry.
Well, of course I'll worry.
I just thought you'd get a kick out of what all this worrying over your job made me do.
Oh, so it's my fault.
I didn't say that.
Betty follows the young blonde receptionist to the personnel department. The girl opens the door and tosses her hair in the direction Betty is to go. As the girl scampers back to her desk, Betty tentatively steps into the office, done in shades of beige and purple. It isn't quite Betty's taste, but it's effective. The woman behind the desk has on all the latest things, right up to the eyeglasses. She has even mastered the fashion model's "you really should have worn these clothes" expression. Betty sits down and tries to hide her hands because her short pink nails look silly next to this woman's wine-colored talons. But now, the woman extends a diamond-studded hand to Betty, and she has no choice but to shake it.
Hi, I'm Misty Hendmorton.
It's nice to meet you. I'm Betty Coughlin.
A pleasure, Betty. Who sent you?
Tom Garland, from your New York branch.
Oh, yes. I remember seeing your name headlining one of my interoffice memos. Have you worked with Tom before?
He's my daughter's fiancé.
Oh, how nice.
Yes, I'm very pleased.
As I remember, the memo wasn't very specific. What sort of position do you have in mind?
Oh, dear. Well, I'd like to learn about the advertising business, some kind of job where I could meet the people and get a feel for it.
Such as?
Well, I think I could be a good receptionist.
Unfortunately, you're not right for that particular job.
Oh?
You look puzzled.
I am. I should think I'd be capable of answering the phone.
Oh, I'm sure you are. First of all, the receptionist job at an advertising agency is what's known as a glamour spot.
What's that?
It's a job which pays very poorly, but the rewards are that whoever holds that job gets to be part of the slick and marvelous world of advertising.
I don't need a lot of money to start out.
Well, also, traditionally, the job goes to a sleek young thing like Natalie out there. She's part of the office decor. I'm not particularly fond of the tradition, but we don't make traditions out here in Michigan. We slavishly follow the New York fashions.
I see.
I don't think that a mature woman would be interested in that kind of exposure.
No, I didn't realize.
I'm almost embarrassed to ask you this, but can you type?
I used to before the kids were born. My ex-boss is now vice president of Clumley Glass. I imagine I'm a little rusty. But if you had something with light typing,
No, not really. Not right now. Occasionally we need somebody to do some additional typing, but if you're rusty,
I could freshen up.
All right. I'll keep your name on file, and I'll let you know if anything comes up.
Thank you.
You know, you really should check with your former employer. Maybe he can help you out.
Help me out?
I'm sure you're aware that it's not easy for women in your age group to find employment.
Yes, I guess that's true.
Well, good luck. I'll keep my eyes open.
Yes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming in, Betty.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you going?
Out.
Did you get rejected, too?
I think so.
Well, then you did. These advertising sleazies are masters at making you feel good while they stab you in the back.
I didn't feel that good.
Oh, then you really got it.
Yeah. What kind of a job are you applying for?
I produce commercials. I was showing them my demo reel. These sleazies only hire their favorites, and the guy who can grease the palm. Through here.
Pardon?
This is the way out. Believe me, I'm a guy who always knows the way out.
I'm sure you're being a little bit too hard on yourself.
Well, I'm as good as these guys they hire.
I had the funniest impression when I was in there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I thought that the woman who interviewed me hated her job and her life. Of course, I'd like to make some money, but I suppose I might not have been happy there.
What kind of a job are you looking for?
Oh, you know, answering phones, light typing, something like that.
Maybe I could find you something in commercials. Sometimes they need a Gal Friday type person.
Oh, that might be fun.
How can I get in touch with you?
Betty Coughlin. It's the only one in the book.
Oh, I'm Mickey Ryan. Maybe we could have dinner and talk it over?
My daughter's visiting.
Oh, she won't care.
How do you know?
Ask her and see if I'm right. Come on, Betty. Get back in the car.
No, thank you.
Come on. I said I'm sorry.
No!
Look, I made a mistake. I thought you'd want to. I wasn't trying to push you into anything.
I'm afraid that today's moral standards aren't for me.
Ah, you'll get used to them.
I hope not.
You're missing out on a lot of fun.
Could you hand me my jacket, please? I'm a little chilly.
Come on. Get in. I'll drive you home. This is crazy, Betty. We're way out in the sticks. I'll worry.
Okay. Help me with my coat.
You know, you'd be okay if you'd just relax.
I don't think so. Stop that! I told you no!
Come on, get in. We'll go right back to your place.
You don't listen.
This is kid stuff. Are you coming or aren't you?
No. No, I'll stay here.
That's crazy. Now get in the car.
I'm serious. If you don't leave me alone, I'll have you charged with assault and attempted rape.
Oh, you'd have trouble making that stick. Just try convincing a judge that you're such a big prize. Oy, that's what I get for trying to help you out.
Oh, I can't see a thing. Get hold of yourself, Betty. It's a long walk home.
It was late when Betty started home. As she walked through the dark woods, she remembered nights when Jane was a little girl. Jane would come running home from a girlfriend's house, flushed and nervous with a story about the witch who chased her through the woods. Even though she knew there was no witch, Betty felt the primitive power of the woods, and it scared her. She felt a creeping tug on her leg. Then she realized it was nothing more than a run in her hose. After what seemed like hours of walking, Betty came to a gas station. It was closed, but there was a phone booth. She was about to call Jane, but instead decided that she didn't want anyone to see her or know what had happened. She knew she wasn't far from home now, just a mile or so around Chippewa Lake. It was getting lighter. Her worry was to get home before any of the neighbors saw her. Now Betty is finally home. As far as she can tell, no one has seen her.
Ma?
Oh, you scared me.
Sorry. I was waiting up. What time is it?
Oh, I'm not sure. It's early.
Mom?
I want to get my robe.
Mom, wait. Are you just getting back?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, it wasn't like that. I guess he thought I was a different kind of person. I got out of the car way out in the middle of nowhere.
He just left you there?
He'd had a couple of drinks.
Why didn't you call?
It was dark, and the houses were way off the road, and I was afraid of watchdogs.
What was that guy's name again? I want to get the police on him so fast.
Oh, now, Janie.
Mom, we can't let him get away with it.
He didn't do anything.
You're sure?
I think I'd know, dear.
I mean, you're not glossing over anything to not upset me?
No, no. Just a misunderstanding. I did tear the lining of my suit coat, I think. Oh, I did. But it's on the seam.
How can you be so damn calm?
It happened several hours ago, and it's over. I just wish I weren't so darn tired. Oh, dear.
You really shouldn't let him get away with it. What if the next lady isn't so lucky?
Oh, Janie, be quiet.
The louse, the scum!
Janie!
What am I supposed to say? Gee, it's too bad he wasn't very nice. Well, I know it isn't very ladylike, but I'd like to wring his fat, lumpy neck.
No, it's not his fault. I'm just not as sophisticated as some of these women.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, I've only been with your father, of course. I think it's a little late for me to start experimenting around.
Well, you wouldn't want to experiment around anyway. You're just not that kind of person. You have too much self-respect. Mom, what's wrong?
Sylvia and Bob Richards just spent $2,300 on plumbing.
Well, so what?
I'm so darn afraid that something like that will happen here to our plumbing.
Oh, Mom.
I tried to save out of the alimony checks. I clipped coupons, but it's always something I need, and I never save enough.
Mom, I'll send you the money.
No. No, you and Tom have your own life.
Well, don't be silly. It's the least I could do. Dad or Pete would help, too.
I don't want any help.
Well, why not, Mom? You've given so much time to us. Don't you think we'd be happy to do whatever we could?
I don't want to be a burden on my children.
Oh, don't even think that.
But I do.
Oh, Lord. What a lousy deal for you. All that work for us and nothing to fall back on.
I don't regret a minute.
I know.
Besides, I've got you. I wouldn't have you to talk to now if I'd gone running off after some career.
Africa sounds so terrific.
Yeah, but, you know, Rhonda, I really want to do it more than anything.
What happens after the 3-year stint?
Well, I can stay in Africa or come back to one of the American plants, theoretically. With the economy so crazy, it doesn't make sense to count on anything.
There's always a demand for people in our line of work.
Well, I didn't land a good job in New York yet.
You probably would have eventually. But New York City isn't exactly an agricultural engineer's paradise.
No, I guess not.
Somebody was asking about you the other day.
Oh, who?
One of the clients over in Romeo.
Oh, Mr. Slatter, the guy who had the drainage problem.
Yeah, that was the one. He thought you were brilliant. I told him he was right.
I wish he'd thought that 10 years ago. I had the most painful crush on his son when I was in 4-H. Oh, man, what a mess.
You'll do the right thing by Tom.
You sound as positive as my mom. Only she thinks I'd be crazy to trade in the patter of little feet for the purr of a tractor.
Don't trade. Have both.
Well, somehow I can't picture Tom in Africa.
Why not?
I don't know. You know, I need to help Mom get a job. You got any ideas?
What kind of a job?
Well, whatever. She needs to make some money.
Can she type well?
I don't know.
Well, there is a demand for good secretaries these days, and the money's not bad.
Don't men want, you know, younger women?
Maybe some do. There are a few of us women executives.
Oh, right. How stupid of me.
And don't forget that a lot of young women use secretarial jobs as stepping stones to managerial positions. Men might find a woman your mom's age a lot less threatening.
Well, I think she's pretty nervous about the job situation.
That's normal. Even you're a wreck over this Africa thing.
But what if she messes up and gets fired?
She goes somewhere else and takes another job. Eventually, she'll find a place where she's comfortable.
I guess.
Hazel's pregnant, you know. If your mom's skills are halfway decent, she can have a temp job while Hazel's off.
Oh, I suppose it's worth thinking about.
It beats sitting home alone, doesn't it?
I don't know if Mom wants to work 9 to 5.
I suppose it's a good idea, but I wouldn't know where to begin.
Well, Rhonda says you might be able to have a temp job. Just brush up on your typing.
Well, what about shorthand? Did you wash that green pepper?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other secretaries can show you how to type from a dictaphone.
Oh.
And maybe you could take a class.
The only classes I know about are the ones you do through the mail. You know, the ones that advertise on matchbook covers.
Oh, Mom. Mm.
Where else should I go?
Somewhere where you'll get out of this suburban paradise and meet other working women.
Our class is expensive.
I don't know. We'll have to see. I'll get it.
No, I will. It's probably for me anyway. You can dice that onion while I go.
Mom!
I'm just kidding, sweetie. I want to show you a trick about dicing onions.
What do you mean?
Oh, you chopped onions the hard way last night. I'll show you. Tom!
Hi, Betty.
Oh, Tom, hi.
Hi. Surprise.
I'll say.
I made the trip so that you could nurse me back to health.
Seriously?
No, it's not that bad.
Good, because I would have come back.
The burn's right under here. You can feel the bandages. I have to wear these baggy pants or it gets irritated. I have to keep my leg up and change the bandages a lot. They gave me some time off work, so here I am.
Did the flight hurt you?
Not really. Except that it was pretty funny trying to change my bandages in those tiny washrooms. I was going to ask one of those cute stewardesses to help me.
Tom!
But I thought that would make you jealous, and I was right. Mm. Anyway, Princess, I've got great news.
Oh, what?
I bought that nursery property.
You bought it?
He came down to my price, so I grabbed it. We'll live happily escrow after.
You didn't check with me?
I wanted it to be a surprise. Oh, it's not really ours yet. We're in escrow. And then, of course, there are the wonderful mortgage payments.
Tom, that was crazy. I don't know what I want to do about the African job, and here you are forcing me to take something I don't want.
You said you wanted it.
I said I'd consider it. I don't know whether you're trying to make me feel guilty or what, but I don't like it.
Cicely Tyson again. And here's the fourth act of A Visit Home.
I thought you'd be happy about the nursery.
Maybe you don't know me very well.
Janie, Tom's just trying to help.
Oh, really?
You know I am.
Right. First, back in New York, you wouldn't let me hear myself think, so I had to come out here. Then you put a guilt trip on me about your burn. And now this ridiculous nonsense about the nursery. Plus, you've come out here and
maybe
you...
Maybe that's Tom's way of letting you know he loves you.
Mom, you're the one who says you can't own people. I think if someone really loves you, they let you go your own way.
We don't always know what's best for us, do we?
Speak for yourself, Mom.
She can be very difficult at times.
I didn't know I'd make her so mad.
She's always been stubborn, but she's a nice girl.
Yeah.
I hope you're not stuck with the nursery, I mean.
Well, actually, I made the offer subject to inspection, which means I can get my deposit back.
What if the inspector says it's fine?
It's an old realtor's trick. I can get out of it.
How does it work?
I can't explain. I guess I should have told Jane that we weren't locked into it.
Yes, you probably should have.
Hey, maybe I should go tell her now.
Might be wiser to wait until later.
I guess.
I'm making gazpacho.
Oh.
If you want to chat in the kitchen, you can put your foot up on one of the chairs.
Okay. Hey, princess.
I'm not a princess, and I don't want to become one.
Hey, Jane, look what I brought you.
What's this, another bribe?
Your mom said hot fudge with vanilla's your favorite.
Except for the calories.
Hey, I'm just trying to make you happy.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, here. Lately, I've had the feeling that whatever I do, it's not going to be enough to please you.
I know. I'm sorry. I've just been wondering if I'm picking fights so I can justify taking the African job.
I hope not.
I'm not going to be able to enjoy this Sunday if we're going to talk this way.
See, there, I did it again.
Please, don't take it so personally.
Sorry.
Maybe Mom will have the Sunday.
Leave it.
I hate wasting food. It goes against my training.
Oh.
You know, sometimes I think your idea of what makes me happy and Mom's idea and my idea are three different things.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Tom, I want this job in Africa so much, I'm going to have to take it.
Why?
Because I wanted to do something like that all my life. If I turn it down now, I'm going to be cheating myself.
How do you think I feel after I got you the nursery?
But that's not something I want to do. Maybe it's your idea of something you'd like your wife to do. I don't know.
Hey, I thought you wanted it. Honestly.
I'll split the loss with you.
It's not a matter of money.
Maybe it is.
No, I can get the deposit back.
What?
My burn hurts.
Come on. Put your feet up. Tom, I don't think I can live the kind of life that you seem to want.
What do you mean?
Suburbia and you as the breadwinner. You know, I scrape in a few dollars from my nursery, enough to redecorate the den once in a while.
You'll probably do very well with the plants. You've got the training.
I don't want to be financially dependent on you. I don't want to come to you for money for the kids' clothes. It's scary.
We can work that out.
Maybe.
What brought all this on?
Seeing what the divorce has done to Mom.
That won't happen to us.
No, it won't. That's why I need to take this job.
What about me?
Couldn't you come with me?
This may come as a shock to you, but Avery Green and Duran don't have a branch in Nairobi yet.
Well, I'm sure there are other things you could do.
Like what?
Marketing consultant? Or maybe you could teach English at one of the schools?
That's taking me way out of my element.
Well, I was out of my element in New York City.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, look, I've thought it through. I'd be making more than you are now.
So?
Well, it doesn't matter, except that we could put away some money for that house we want to buy. The cost of living is a lot lower over there, so it'll be easier to save.
But I might not be working.
Well, not necessarily. Think how exciting it would be to, to be part of an emerging country, do something useful, peace, love, you know, all that good stuff.
But what if I can't find a job?
You will.
I'm almost 30 years old. These next years are really important in the advertising business.
I know.
It's the worst time in the world for me to fool around in another profession. This is the time that I should be making a bid to get noticed.
Well, maybe there are more important things than advertising.
Hey, I know there are, but advertising happens to be what I do.
We're kind of, I don't know, cross-wired.
I'll think it over. Honestly, I will. It's just that they expect you to be in a certain position once you're in your mid-30s. If I come back at 34 and look for an executive's job, I won't be experienced enough. But a guy that age who still does junior exec work is considered a loser.
I just don't think I'm a very good example, Jane.
What do you mean?
Not a good advertisement for marriage.
Because you're unhappy?
Oh, I'm happy enough. But this is the bad side of marriage. While you and Pete were growing up, things were different.
Yeah, I know.
I think you look at me and say, I don't want to end up like her, and that hurts my feelings.
Now, Mom, that's silly.
I don't think so.
Mom, I don't want to spend 20 or 30 years raising a family and then be left on my own with nothing to fall back on. Nobody does. It's a very tough situation that you're in.
But it doesn't happen to everyone.
I know, Mom. I feel really awful that you have to deal with changing your life all around. I don't like to see you hurt, but it doesn't mean that I don't love you or that I wouldn't be there if you needed me, just like you've always been there for me.
See, sweetie, that's why having a family is so important. You have people to care for and who care for you.
Oh, I want a family.
Look at you. Enrolling me in business school. Trying to find me a job because you're my daughter.
It's not just because I'm your daughter.
If you weren't, we wouldn't know each other.
If I weren't, I wouldn't know anybody. But anyway, maybe the reason I'm able to help is that I think in terms of self-reliance. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Well, if I were the kind of woman who sits and waits for Prince Charming, I would probably tell you to do the same. And we'd sit on our derrieres and wait to be rescued from life. But since I'm the sort of person who likes to work and be independent, I encourage you to be the same way.
I suppose. I'd just hate to think you took the job because of me.
Mom, it's not a prison sentence. It's something I want to do more than anything. More than staying in New York with Tom.
I just don't think Tom will go along with you to Africa.
Well, why shouldn't he? I gave up my job and moved to New York to be with him.
Oh, that was different.
Why?
Well, things are different for women.
But that isn't fair.
It's the way things are.
Well, maybe I can start to change the way things are if I take this job.
You're going to regret not having a family.
Mom, I want a family. But Tom is not the only man on earth.
But he's a nice person.
That doesn't mean he's right for me. I'd like to have a guy who would inconvenience himself for my sake, at least once in a while.
A lot of men won't do that.
I think I deserve somebody who will. Already I feel like Tom's trying to mold me to suit his needs. It's making me crazy.
You really don't think he's doing that?
Yes. In a sweet way, but still, he's...
Oh, I don't know, Jane.
You know, maybe if Dad had been the kind of man who thought more about your needs and feelings, he wouldn't have, well, you know, done what he did to you.
Your father did what he had to do.
Look, I love Dad, too, but he's a weak person, morally, I mean.
That isn't a very nice thing to say.
Well, it's the way I see it. I don't think a man with integrity would have let himself get into other involvements. Oh, Mom, I don't know. I guess I'm testing Tom too much, and I'm being too hard on Dad.
You always did expect too much from everyone, including yourself.
I know.
I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed a lot.
Flight 432 for New York City is now boarding at gate 2A. Flight 432 for New York City is now boarding.
Well, here goes.
Have a good flight.
I will. Thanks for everything, Betty. Good luck at your business school.
Thanks. I'm afraid I'll need it.
Oh, you'll do fine.
Oh, Janie. Hey, why don't you hop on the plane and come with me?
Because my bags are already on their way to Nairobi.
That's a lousy excuse. I really don't see how you can go through with this.
Well, it's a mutual decision, isn't it? You could hop on my plane and come with me.
No, I can't.
Okay.
I'll have my cream spinach burn to remember you by. The wounds of love.
Yeah, right. I hope you'll remember more than that. We'll keep in touch. If some girl doesn't carry you off to the altar right away, who knows what'll happen?
Sure thing, Mem Sahib. Keep me around like an old dress, just in case I come back in style.
Tom, cut that out.
Hey, just kidding.
I'll write you.
Yeah, yeah. And telephone on Christmas and Easter. I'd better go.
Okay.
I'll talk to you.
He's furious with me.
No, he's just hurt.
Let's go. I don't want to hang around.
How long before your flight?
An hour and a half.
How about a hot fudge sundae? Oh. My treat.
Although the flight to London was crowded, Jane slept most of the way. She decided that she must have been emotionally drained and needed the rest. She spent the night in a hotel near Heathrow Airport and then caught her flight to Kenya. There weren't many other passengers, and Jane was lucky enough to have a whole row of seats to herself. She turned her headset to sad, romantic airplane music. As she listened, she went back over all the nice times she had with Tom. She cried over each one as much as she had to. Then she worried about her mom, about the woman's loneliness and her pain in adjusting to a new life. Jane cried over that, too. She fell asleep again, somewhere over the Sahara. And now she's just awakened. The plane is coming into Nairobi. Below her, she sees the new modern buildings of the central city and the surrounding shanty towns. Beyond the city itself are the raw African plains. There is a new frontier down there, and Jane is already feeling that she is part of it.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, A Visit Home, was written by Patricia Joyce and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Virginia Gregg, Joan McCall, and Len Berman. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Gene Howell, and Teresa Victor. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears, a name that means quality and value. A name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Listen to us tomorrow. I've got another story of adventure about men and women defying the odds. Listen here, tomorrow.